You know, I've been talking the last few weeks about clothing ourselves. Clothing ourselves with Christ. And we've looked at here in Colossians, that one verse I keep going back to. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. We looked at what compassion was. We've looked at what humility is. Clothing yourself with humility, and gentleness and patience. But the second word in that list of characteristics, what we should clothe ourselves with, is that we should clothe ourselves with kindness. Kindness. Wow, just with the events that have happened in the last 24 hours, we need more kindness in our world, don't we? We need more kindness. And I remember growing up, my dad, you know, would say something to the effect, you know, if you really want to get, the best way to get at your enemies, and not that we should have enemies, but I guess people who are against us or others that maybe don't agree with us, the best way to get at them, my dad would always say, is to kill them with kindness. How many of you ever heard that phrase before? Kill them with kindness. That doesn't sound too good, right? But, you know, the idea is you want to influence them. Even they may be dead set against you and opposite of what you believe. Well, the best way to influence them is to be kind. Kill them with kindness. Be kind. And then maybe you can influence their lives. Well, what is kindness? Kindness, I guess just the basic definition, kindness is warm-hearted affection for one another. We're to have that warm-hearted affection for one another. In spiritual terms, the kindness that is mentioned here in Colossians that we're going to talk about today is not the same kindness that we would maybe associate with that warm-hearted affection for one another. Basically, the kindness that the Apostle Paul talks about here that we should clothe ourselves with is called brotherly kindness. What is brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness is warm-hearted affection that we have for one another as members of the family of faith. Amen? If you believe in Christ, and I believe in Christ, and we both confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to have that warm-hearted affection for one another. Kindness. Are we always going to agree with one another? No. Are we always going to get along? Maybe there are times that we don't. But we should never lose that warm-hearted affection we have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And even in the midst of maybe disagreements or whatever there may be, we can find common ground in the warm-hearted affection we have for one another as members of God's family. I want to look here this morning in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter is there back at the towards the end of the New Testament. Don't preach out of 2 Peter a whole lot, but I love this first passage here. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin, instead of with verse 1, I want to begin with verse 3. And it says this. And remember, we're talking about clothing ourselves with kindness. Kindness. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now, I want to stop and look at that first verse again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Do you realize that God has given us everything that we need? Amen? God has given us everything we need in Christ. In Christ, He has given us everything we need. In Christ, we have everything we need to live life. You've heard the old saying, the old song, I think, just give me Jesus. That's all I need. More than diamonds or gold, more than mansions. Jesus is all I need. Amen? And that's true. God has given us everything we need to live this life on earth, and it's through Jesus Christ. That's all we need. Now, we may want other things and desire other things, but when we get down to it, you remember that? You know, did you ever ask for something when you were a child, your mom or dad, you wanted something, you asked for something, and they said, no, you don't need that. And it made you upset. But they were right. You didn't need that. You may have wanted that. You may have desired that, but you didn't need it. We need Jesus. Amen? The world needs Jesus. What's happened here in the last 24 hours in Odessa is just demonstrating that. The need for Jesus. And Jesus is really all we need. And I know it sounds so simple and so cliche. You've heard it before. You know, Jesus is all you need. He's the answer. Jesus, period. I love seeing that sign sometimes. Jesus, period. That's it. That's all we need. And it's true. It's all we need. But you know what? Jesus also mentioned something in his teachings. Jesus said something like this. You know, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Remember that? I've come to give you life. We need Jesus because we need him to live. But we also need Jesus. We need Jesus for eternal life. But we also need Jesus as we live this life on earth. Now, I may be saved. I may have professed my faith in Christ. And I know I'm saved. I know what my eternal destination is. I know that one day I will receive that eternal life in its fullness. But until that period comes, I still must live my life on earth. And that's what Jesus said. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you eternal life. But I've also come to give you life on this earth more abundantly. Now, don't be confused and say, well, is the pastor here preaching some prosperity gospel where you know, we live this life in faith on earth and God's going to bless us materially? You know, is that what he means by abundantly? No. And that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus said, you know, I've come to give you life, eternal life, but I've also come to give you life more abundantly here and now. We can experience the fullness of life in Christ on this earth right here, right now. Amen? When we learn to trust in him and follow him and have faith in him and follow his direction, God blesses us. And he will give us an abundant life, but that doesn't necessarily mean material gain. It may simply be the abundance of joy and satisfaction in knowing that Jesus meets all my needs and he's all I need. Amen? I don't need anything else. In Christ, we have everything we need to live life. And in Christ, we have everything we need to live a life of godliness right here, right now. Amen? That's what he said. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have everything we need in Christ to live this life on earth and to live it in godliness. In godliness. You know, have you ever thought about, and when things like what has happened today or yesterday, people start thinking about this, you know, you never know when your time's going to come. You never know. You could be just driving in a vehicle and something happens. You never know. Are you prepared? Do you have everything you need? Christ gives us everything we need. And when I die, and people start thinking about this, when they start thinking about, you know, man, when the time comes, people sometimes think this, what are people going to say about me after I'm gone? What are they going to say about me? I've thought about this, and I thought about it yesterday. You know, when God calls me home, whenever that's going to be, I hope and pray that people will say about me, he was a godly man. That's what I want. That's what I desire. And that should be all our desire. When we're gone, and when God calls us home, what will others say about us? Will they say, that was a godly person? God has given us everything we need in life, and God has given us everything we need to live a life of godliness. I want to read on here. Excuse me. Here in 2 Peter. We just read verse 3. Verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The second thing I want to emphasize this morning in this passage, here's in that verse 4, is this. Not only has God given us everything we need in Christ, God has given us many promises. Amen? He's given us many promises. What are the promises? I'm just curious. Name a promise that God has made to us. Somebody. He'll never forsake us. Name another one. The rainbow. What about the rainbow? Yep. Very good. Very good. Somebody name another one. What's another promise God has made us? Eternal life. God's promised us the gift of salvation. It's a gift. It's by grace. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't pay for it. It's a gift. God's a gift. It's a promise. Here it is. By faith. By grace. Boom. He won't leave us. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He'll never leave us. In other words, the promise of God's presence, right? Isn't that what Jesus promises the night before he was crucified? Hey, I'm about to go away, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor is going to come. He's going to be with you. So there's the promise of salvation, the promise of God's presence. We also have the promise of a new nature, a new creation. When we come to Christ, there is that promise that God makes that, hey, your old life is going to be buried with Christ and you're going to be raised to live a new life in Christ. You're going to be a new creation in Christ. Amen? These are all promises that God has made us. Salvation, his presence, the new creation. But I want you to look at this one that he mentions here in verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption and the evil that's in this world. God has given us the promise of a relationship with Him. That's what it means to participate in the divine nature. Jesus said it best, and I think John 15, when Jesus said, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. You remember that? And if a man remains in me, I will remain in him. And I will come to him, and Jesus said, we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we will make our home in him. Jesus was talking about that participation in the divine nature. Us in Christ and Christ in us. Really, the relationship that we have with God through Christ is one in which our spirit is united and intertwined with God's spirit living in us. Amen? That's the promise of a relationship, to participate in the divine nature. And if I'm living in Christ and Christ is living in me, then he is going to produce within me that life of godliness and that life of brotherly kindness. Amen? Last little part this morning I want to look at here. Let's look at these last few verses. Verse 5 says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance. Godliness. There's that word godliness again. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Don't you think it's interesting that brotherly kindness comes after godliness? And the reason I think it's done that way is to show us that when we are living a godly life in Christ, Christ in us and us in Christ, God's Spirit in us, it's going to produce within us that characteristic of brotherly kindness. Amen? Brotherly kindness. And what do we call this list? What do we call these things? This is not the only list we have in the Scriptures, but what are these things? Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? An apple tree is going to produce what? Apples. I asked that question one time. What does an apple tree produce? Oranges? No, an apple tree produces apples. It's the fruit. It's what it does. Y'all, excuse me just a second. That's what an apple tree does, right? It produces apples. What does an orange tree do? It produces oranges. A pecan tree produces nuts, right? Pecans. Alright? Someone who is in Christ, and if you are in Christ, and Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, what are you going to produce? You're going to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's just It's natural. Well, it's really supernatural, but that's what happens. That's what the Holy Spirit does. An apple tree produces apples. An orange tree produces oranges. A pecan tree produces pecans. Someone who is in Christ and Christ is in that person is going to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And not only that, that fruit of the Holy Spirit will make us more productive. Look at what he says here in these verses. Verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, including brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. If we can produce that fruit in our life, it will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the saddest commentaries to a professing Christian's life is that they have received the most precious gift God could ever give, eternal life. And they've done absolutely nothing with it. Nothing. And the fruit that is supposed to be produced in their life begins to spoil. And once fruit has spoiled, what is it good for? Well, I walked right into that one, didn't I? If y'all didn't hear what I said, what is spoiled fruit good for? He says alcohol. Wow. Talk about the Holy Spirits, right? Bad pun. No. But how many of y'all have ever gone and you know, when the peaches come in the, you know, when do peaches start coming? Isn't it fall? Isn't it in the fall? What? Apples are in the fall. When are peaches? Right now, huh? Have you ever been by those roads, especially if you're going through Fredericksburg and places like that? They got all those roadside peaches and stuff. Pecos cantaloupes, certain time of year, the Pecos cantaloupes come out, you know. But have you ever gone and bought peaches and you get them back home and they just sit around? What starts to happen? They start to spoil. Okay? And I remember a few years ago, I forget what the name of the movie, but there was a scene in the movie where, you know, the family, they had a visitor come stay with them, and they had all these peaches. And as the days went by, you know, the gentleman that was visiting them noticed, hey, you know, these peaches are starting to spoil. We need to do something with them. Well, what are we going to do with them? And so he taught the family how to make peach cobbler, peach pie. Something. Do something with them. But don't let them just sit around and spoil to where all their good fruit will be thrown out into the trash. Now, I hope you all understand what I'm getting at. But if we're producing fruit in our life and brotherly kindness, if all these fruit of the Holy Spirit are to be evident in our life, then we need to start using them. Amen? We need to start practicing them. Patience, love, godliness, perseverance, self-control, patience, kindness, love, patience. You notice I'm saying patience over and over again? We need to practice those things in our life. Don't let them just sit there and not be used. Let it be productive. Let the Holy Spirit be productive in your life. Amen? And don't be this Christian who sits around and doesn't do anything. Our faith is to be active. Amen? And one way we can have our faith being active is to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit and to practice things like brotherly kindness. In closing, let me just say this. God has given us the ability to show brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, y'all, is a sign of life. If you go back and read the book of 1 John, every once in a while, in that book, John will say, here is a sign to know you're in the faith. Here is a sign to know that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. And one of those signs is the sign of brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given us the ability to show brotherly kindness. God has given us the ability to live a life more like Christ, to live a life of godliness. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, the truth that comes from your word. And Lord, brotherly kindness is a sign of life. Your word says that if we truly know you, we will love our brothers. We will love our sisters. We will love one another. Your word also says that as followers of Christ, with the Holy Spirit living in us, we will produce fruit. Father, help us not to let that fruit begin to spoil in our life. But Father, help us to make it more productive and effective. Your word says you've come to give us life. And you've come to give us life more abundantly. Lord, may we live that life every day in godliness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.